I'm a Braves fan, so batter up. I ain't got much to cheer about this year. But thankful to be here today. And brother, my family grazes early. I'm really 58, so my family grazes early. My wife went to buy it. We was buying a car one time, and we were negotiating, and the little gentleman, I'm kind of harsh when it comes to haggling with somebody. I say what I'm going to say, and that's it. And he's like, "Ma'am, I made your daddy mad." She said, "That's my husband." Oh, Lord. I was really hot by then. If you got your Bible, as I pray you do, hold it high. I want you guys to look around. You don't see this in churches today. They say, "Oh, they'll put it on the screen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you for your word, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we're thankful for what it's going to do in our lives as we digest it today. Let it change us from within, dear Heavenly Father, that we'll leave this service different than when we came. All other fears and desires and wants, I pray that they would subside for this next hour or so, dear Lord, as we just love on you and you love on us. I love you and praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in this service, dear Lord, for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be reading from 11 to 17, and then perhaps we'll go a little further. We'll see how the service goes. Now, the title of this message, brother, if I get too loud, I'm going to get loud myself. You just turn me down so I don't hurt nobody's ears. How many of you remember Gene Kelly dancing in the rain? Singing in the rain. Gene Kelly. Now, Gene Kelly was singing in the rain because of the love that he perceived he was going to get from that sweet little girl. And as he's singing in the rain, as he was singing, people would come by in the rain and they had their little newspaper over their hair and they looked at him like he was crazy. He had his umbrella he done took down, jumping in puddles. A police officer comes by, looks at him like, "We about to get the paddy wagon." He puts his umbrella down and he just walks on off, and he sees somebody else that didn't have an umbrella. He just gives him his umbrella and just walks. There's a time and a place in your life when nothing else matters but that of which you're focused on. Gene Kelly was thinking about that love that he was going to have for that young lady. And that's what he was absorbed in. Now, brother Larry, right? Was it Larry? Larry's married to this dear lady here. Larry? That one right there. Not the sisters now. But you... By implication, you got to make sure they're happy too. You keep it. I hear you, brother. Now, Larry, when you got to go out with her on your first date, how did you feel when you walked away after dropping her off at night? Your stomach was in butterflies. You was on cloud nine. You couldn't tell you. If somebody asked you another girl's name, you couldn't have told them. Right? Right answer. Yeah, right? Okay. We're going to look at today God's people. Through persecution, He wants us to keep our eyes on Him for all that He is and all that He's done for us. Knowing that He's placed us here for this place and time and purpose, we are to serve Him well. Even through the times of persecution. Even when somebody comes against you and you feel like, "Oh man, all is lost." We are still to cling to Him. He is our first love. Man, I'll cling to Him no matter what. When the bullets get to flying and the enemy's darts are flying at me, I'm going to cling to Him. I want to be like Gene Kelly, singing in the rain, singing in the rain. Because you know what? Even though I'm singing in the rain in the midst of persecution, I still have my love. I can't even tell you that it's raining. It doesn't matter that it's raining. It doesn't matter that people look at me like I'm crazy. It doesn't matter that the police officer looks at me like I'm stupid for jumping in mud puddles. It doesn't matter that I don't even need my umbrella anymore. In the midst of all that's going on in this world, I cling to my Christ and I sing the songs that He places in my heart. That's what we're going to look at today. If you don't remember my name, I just want you to remember the message. Now, brother, I am dyslexic. I'm telling all of you that. Follow along. It'll behoove you to follow along. I'm in the New King James. If your wording is a little different, we may get a little off track there. But I'm in New King James. I'm going to start off just giving you a brief context. Because we're not going expositorily through the scripture, I just want to let you know where we're at. First, this is in 1 Peter. Peter wrote this 1 Peter most likely shortly after July A.D. 64. And why can I say July? Because that's when Rome was burnt. We know that. Nero chosen as a scapegoat the Christians who were already hated because they were associated with Jews. And because they were seen as being hostile to Roman culture. Because you remember, the Jewish people at the time, they wanted Jesus put to death so they could appease the Romans, so they wouldn't come down and be harsh against them. So they kind of threw the Christians under the bus, and Christ hung on the cross for our sins. So here you got the Christians as an outlier, and Rome is coming against them, Nero here in particular. They saw Christians as being hostile to the Roman culture. Much like this world sees Christians today as being contrary to what the world has in store for their life today. There was vicious persecution against Christians. It spread throughout the Roman Empire. Let me tell you just how vicious these people were. They would take skins off of animals, wild animals, lay them across Christians, and then let the dogs loose just enough to where they couldn't get the Christian, but just enough to snarl and snarl at them until the Christian, just through anxiety of days and days and days, would become weary and just die from the anxiety of being attacked by those dogs. They would nail Christians to the cross. They would set them afire. Nero would even have he was real big in the theater. They would all dress up and they would take Christians on stakes and they would burn them. And Nero and all of his little guests would walk around in costumes by the light of burning Christians. Now, I want you to remember that now, because in the light of the message that I'm giving you, how are we to live our lives amidst that kind of persecution against Christians? It's a hard message to preach, but it's a message we need to hear. This world does not love you. And if it does love you, I implore you to look at the way you live your life. Are you not living your life in a way that's contrary to this world? Because if you're living your life fitting in, you may not fit in one day when the rapture comes. You may not fit in. We're going to rub this world opposite of the way it wants to be rubbed. I'm a dog person. I mean dog people. We got dog people in here? We got any cat people? A couple of cat. Oh, got more cat people. So y'all get this. How do you pet a cat? They want to be petted from the head down the back, down the tail, don't they? That's the way they want to be. You know how we are to this world? We're like petting a cat from the tail to the head. You do that to a cat, and that cat will try to get out. We should be offensive in the way we live our lives, the way we conduct business. We're going to rub this world in a way it don't like when we live our lives according to the precepts that in God's world. Believers were constantly exposed to this world system, energized by Satan and his demons. Their efforts are to discredit the church and destroy the credibility and integrity
of the church. One way the Spirit works, one way these spirits work is by finding Christians whose lives are not consistent with the Word of God and parading them before unbelievers and show what a sham this church is.
Brother, I have to drive up through Fort Mill, just south of Charlotte. I don't have a fish on the back of my truck because I get angry sometimes. Anybody that's even driven in traffic knows what I'm trying to say. Satan and his demons want to find Christians who just have that Christianese. They speak Christianese. They go to church every now and then, but they live their life a little contrary to God. And then they want to hold them up and say, look, this is your Christian. That's why we don't like them, because they say one thing and do another. That's what Satan looks for to parade in front of us. The purpose of the letter was to teach him, to teach us Christians how to live victoriously in the midst of hostility. Without losing hope, without becoming bitter, while trusting in the Lord, while looking for His second coming, Peter wishes to impress upon his readers by living an obedient, victorious life under duress. Christians can actually, get this, living under duress, you can actually evangelize in this world by the way you take on persecution. That's what Peter's trying to tell us here. Remember Gene Kelly? I said the last person, he didn't even care if it rained, he just gave him his umbrella. We are to give the gospel to the people we meet in this world, even when they're hostile toward us. Beginning in verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. I'm going to go through here expositorily. We're just going to break down the scriptures as we go. And I pray that God will shape our hearts in the reading and expounding of His Word. And believe me, I am dyslexic. Follow along. Beloved, I beg you as you sojourn and pilgrim, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Sojourners in exile. Here we have Christians that are in exile. And Peter's telling them, hey, there's going to be lustful desires and they're going to war against your soul. But you need to abstain from that. Peter calls his readers for righteous life in a hostile world. Christians are foreigners in a secular society because their citizenship is in heaven. There's a couple of perspectives in which Christians should look at their obligations. We're strangers, we're citizens, and we're servants. Fleshly lust are personified as they were an army of rebels or guerrillas who incessantly search out to try to destroy the Christian's joy, peace, and usefulness. This world wants to see Christians suffer. They may not come right out and say it, but they want to see Christians suffer. They don't like to see anybody. How many of you remember when you first got saved, you tried to go hang around the people you used to hang around? Anybody do that? I did that. I'd go around the guys I used to run around with. They'd drink a little bit, this, that, and the other. And I'd come around. Used to, you'd come around, they'd say, oh, hide your beer. Danny don't want our drink, our beer. I got saved, and they was like, here, Danny, you want one? The world wants us to join in the things that it has going on. And we don't need to be a part of that. They want to see us fail. It makes them feel better about, misery loves company. It makes them feel better about who they are and the decisions they've made in life. Verse 12, having our conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good work which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's the crux of the message. Having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I pray that as we live our lives, and God comes back one day, Jesus comes back, every knee's going to bow. Every one of them. Are they... Some people are going to bow their knee and they're going to say, "Oh, Larry back there, I remember he did this and did that, and then I hated him. And then one day I come to know Christ, and now I'm saved. And Jesus, thank you for Larry, that he irritated me so bad. But I see the way he lived his life after I come against him and tried to make things difficult for him. Thank you for saving me." And then you're going to have some people, your life is going to be a witness against them before they go to hell. The way you lived your life, you said you quit a job over that guy that told you something and didn't do it. We live our life in such a way that when that person, I believe, at one point in time in their life, after when they're gone, they're going to replay all the times they heard the gospel and they seen the way us as Christians live our life. And it's a witness to them. And it's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. The way they wanted to tear us down, but we wouldn't give in to it. We lived up to what God had called us, and we lived it out in our life in a way that honored God, but also put weight on them for not accepting Christ. Keep your conduct honorable. Early Christians were falsely accused of rebellion against the government. There was terrorism. They burned Rome. They blamed it. Atheism, idols, and emperor worship, cannibalism. These are things that Christians would not do, but they would attribute to us. When I say cannibalism, because there was rumors of the Lord's Supper, "This is my body, take." Oh, them Christians is cannibals. Immorality because their love for one another. I've called many of you brother and sister in here today. I don't know your name, but you're my brothers and sisters. They would call that immorality. Damaging trends in social progress. Christians are a little bit more staunch in the way that we live our lives. We didn't go to every trend that come along. Leading slaves into insurrection. A common phrase in the Old Testament is a warning of God's visitation. His drawing near to people of the nation near either judgment or blessings. Visitation speaks of the redemption. You know, talking about leading slaves into insurrection. You know, if someone was a slave, the Bible teaches them to be a good slave, and by being a good slave, you'll honor God. But you know what? I'm a slave to that Kaufman that gives me a check every 2 weeks. I clock in, I do exactly what they tell me, and I live. I don't work for Kaufman, the company I work for. I've been there 30, going on 38 years. I don't work for them. I work for God. I just show up there and they pay me. So I clock in unto God and I work honorably unto God. I don't have to worry about a manager or somebody looking around the corner saying, "Is Danny still working?" Because God's always watching. The way we live our lives is a witness. I work for a Jewish company. A Jewish company. I was asked to stop signing my emails, "God bless you." So I did. I still witness to them. I get Jewish holidays off. Those are opportunities to do some type of sharing my faith at times. But I work for that company, but I work for God. But I am submitted to them. And I should do that. That's the way we should live our life. You shouldn't take your Christianity and throw it on your sleeve, and then every time your employer asks you to do something, "I'm not going to do that. I'm a Christian. If it doesn't come against explicitly the things God teaches us, you should submit to your employer. It's what we should do. And it's a witness unto God for the way that we submit ourselves, even to an employer that is not exactly doing what they should do. Because by you living your life right is a light shining Christ in their life. Verse 13, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme." Submit yourself to the king. "As a citizen of this world, under civil law and authority, God's people are to live in a humble, submissive way in the midst of any hostile, godless, slandering society." That's what Peter's writing to God's people at that time. We are to take note of it in the times that we live in.
Rebellious conduct by Christians bring dishonor on Christ. Verse 14, or the governors or those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Only when the government tries to force Christians to do what's against the law of God explicitly stated in Scripture should he refuse to submit. Trying times we live in, ain't they? You want to obey the laws and you want to do what's right. And we should. God tells us, Peter tells us here in the Scripture that we should. But we have to know when that line has been crossed to say, no, I'm not willing to do that. And that's a line for each and every one of us to decide when we get to it. But up until that line, we are to honor God in the way we react. You're serving God, not man. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence those ignorance of foolish men. By doing good. You ever had anybody try to cheat you on a deal? Try to undercut you a little bit? Maybe have somebody go behind your back and talk bad about you because they want your job. We were middle school youth leaders for a long time. I'll tell you what, you ain't been in ministry until you've been a middle school leader. But let me tell you something. Those girls in middle school, I'm just being honest now. And they'll go at one another with a viciousness and try to tear each other down for whatever reason. And the boys are just silly. They just run around kicking each other, you know. But the girls, they could be vicious. Adversaries I would not want in my life against me. Well, Satan and his little band are a lot worse than that. How we react when troubled times come in our lives and try to tear us down and destroy us is a true mark of Christ in your life. You may feel like nobody's there with me. Nobody's there to support me. No, where have all my friends gone? Sometimes you may be just left alone in how you handle difficult times in life. But it's how you handle those difficult times is what's going to mark you as a true believer in the eyes of someone that's coming against you so that you can win them to Christ. Now, I served my country for 22 years, retired Master Sergeant in the Air Force, but I was 15 in the Army Guard and 7 in the Air Guard. Some of you, let me explain this. I did not rejoice when Osama bin Laden was killed. I don't rejoice when my enemies are destroyed. At one point in my life, I was an enemy of God. And He had mercy on me. No value whatsoever to Him. Sixpence none the richer. A little band, they had a song they got on David Letterman. They said, hey, where'd you get the name for your band? Sixpence none the richer. David Letterman's kind of making light of it. And they said it came from C.S. Lewis. A father gave his son, or his daughter or his child, sixpence. They went and bought him a gift. The father was no more richer because he paid for the gift. God got nothing when He got me. Nothing. I didn't add anything to His value. If anything, I put His son on the cross. I cost Him. He didn't get anything good. And if you'll see yourself the same way, a sinner bound for hell, if it weren't for Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, and you falling on your knees and accepting that and turning your life over to Him, heaven help us. I do not revel at seeing lost people die. We should. It should break our hearts.
If it weren't for somebody telling me about Christ, I would die and go to hell. We did some missionary work in Nicaragua there for 10 years or more, wasn't it? And I remember praying I'd get an opportunity to witness to Daniel Ortega, the dictator president. Never got a chance to, but we witnessed to a lot of people down there. But I want my life to be something for God. I've cost Him so much. And this world hates me for that. You either meet people two ways. They either love you or hate you. You ever notice that? They either love you or hate you. I would much rather them love me for giving them the gospel, but they're going to hate me and they walk away when the Holy Spirit convicts them and they turn from it and they walk away. The Holy Spirit's only going to work two ways. You're either going to cling to it or you're going to run from it. 15, for this the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Witness to a young man one time when, I can't even think of the name of the movie, but it was those vampires, Twilight. The vampires, me and a buddy of mine went out there and there was a line of people outside the theater waiting to go in at a certain time. And me and my buddy, we went up there and we was witnessing to them in line because they wasn't going to step out. They wanted to keep their place in line. And we got to witnessing to them, and old one fella, he listened to everything we said and just soaked it up. And the other fella stood there beside him, and I looked around at him and I said, "Do you have any questions about Christ and what He's done for you?" He took a draw off his cigarette. Got no place for Christ in my life. That's what He told me. He didn't swing on me. He didn't hit me. He didn't knock me to the ground. He didn't cost me any money. The Christians we're talking about today had some vile stuff done against them for living out their life. This world does not love us.
16 is free, yet not using liberty as a cloak or vice, but as a bondservant for Christ. Christian freedom is never to be excused for self-indulgence.
We have to be careful the way we live our Christian life. I'm leery about putting little fish symbols on business cards and stuff like that. I got a guy, he comes and we do a Bible study on Tuesdays and Thursdays at work. He's not a Christian. He likes to talk Christianese. But he asked me, would it be okay if he put a fish on his business card? I said, "Brother, please don't." He said, "Well, I don't understand." He said, "I come to Bible study with you." I said, "That don't mean you're born again." Don't take your Christian life values that you have and use them for furtherment or advances in life. I mean, I'm not talking about David whatsoever. I heard David preach for the first time last Sunday and I loved it. Y'all got a fantastic preacher, a man of God. But there are some men, they get into the ministry as a business. They operate the church as a business. "Oh, that's my life. That's what I do." The pulpits are full of them. And you know what? They'll be gone as soon as a bigger church offers them more money. A man is called into the ministry. He's called to a place of service. And until God moves him, you shouldn't move. We live our life in a Christian manner, and we don't change unless God changes us. We don't take advantage of our Christ and the way He... You know, that's like saying, "Oh, you come to our restaurant, you show us your membership at Lowry's Baptist Church, and you get a 10% discount." You know, you shouldn't gain from being a Christian other than what Christ gives us. Honor all people, love thy neighbor. In verse 17, love thy brotherhood, fear God and honor king. Highly esteemed, be highly esteemed. Obedient duty, but inner respect and brotherhood. Honor all people. It's hard to honor people when they do you wrong, but we are to honor them. That's what Christ is telling us. Verse 17, I'm going to read this through 18 through 25. I got time. I just don't want to throw you guys off of your rhythm, but I do want to get through to God's word. Verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear.
not only be good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because the conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what is credited is if you were beaten for your faults, you take patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take patiently, this is commendable before God. I can do something wrong to my wife and she has every right to come against me and I take it patiently. She shouldn't look at me and say, oh, look at you godly taking your punishment well. It's honoring to God when somebody comes against you. Say, Ace, right? Say, Ace comes against me. He says, brother, you took my parking space out there in that church parking lot, and that's where I've parked for the past 40 years, and that's where I'm going to park, and you're not going to park in my parking space no more. Do we make that clear? I say, yes, Mr. Ace, I will go move my truck right now, and you'll get your parking spot. I've done nothing wrong, but I humble myself to Ace, and I say, brother, I will move my truck. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was your truck. Can you tell me where else I can park so Brother Larry don't get on me for taking his spot? When this world comes against you and you've done nothing wrong, your humbleness and the way you take it is a witness to those who come against you. It's not easy said. I mean, it's easier said than done when this world comes against us, but it will. We have to be willing and ready to take on those uncomfortable situations when we suffer like that. Where did Peter get such a humble way of living that he's telling the Jews, this is the way you live? Where did he get that? I'm glad you asked. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses. This is what he's telling the Jewish people. They've done been captured and now they've been carried away to a foreign land. He says, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives, begot sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear children, bear sons to your daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for it is peace you will have. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Living in this world we live in, this is not a political message, but I believe Charlie Kirk was killed more for his belief system in Christ than his political views. He was merely portraying that his Christian biblical worldview lined up politically, and he had a stage and a platform. That's what I believe. When we take a stand for that in this world, there'll be people that'll sit on buildings that'll take shots at you. They'll hate you. They'll hate you to the point that they just want you dead. I just want you to know that's the world we live in. Sometimes we can get our head so high in the cloud that we don't know where we live. But I want to remind you, just as it said in Jeremiah, when you're in tough times, I want you to build houses, have kids, plant a garden. I want you to give your daughters to sons and have children.
I want you to live peaceably with these people who hate you. And in doing so, you'll win them to Christ. My wife don't even let me go out anymore. If I was to sell a car, I used to have a lot of cars. I loved old vehicles. I still love old vehicles. She didn't like for me to go out and negotiate with them because I never made a profit on anything. Never. I'm out there, well, now you buy this. The brakes are going to need to be done within the next so many miles. The gas tank is this, and it's got a little this, that, and it's got a little... Sharon's like... I'd buy it, put money in it, get it running good, and I didn't do body work. So then I'd say, I'm going to sell it. And I'd end up selling it for less than I bought it for, much less what I cost to fix it up. I didn't ever want this world to look at me and say I cheated them. The way I conducted my life, I wanted it to be a witness to this world. I'm not saying you have to be taken advantage of. Just be honest. Be forthright. Treat people the way God would have you treat them. It's what He calls us to do. A holy hush falls upon unbelievers as they see believers unjustly treated to the point of making unbelievers uncomfortable. I see all these people coming to know Christ because of Charlie Kirk that never even heard of Charlie Cook before. He was treated unjustly for his belief system. I see people in the Bible, they come to know Christ because they seen Christians that were hung on posts and set afire for no other reason than Nero wanted to dance around them with his friends at night. They were treated unjustly. Think about that next time you're treated unjustly. It's an opportunity to witness. It's an opportunity to live your faith out. How do you react in tough times in this life? Set the example. Verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Who? Christ. Committed no sin, nor was he deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, that's God, who himself bore our sins and in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live righteous. By whose stripes we were healed. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. When the fiery darts of this world come at me through business dealings or traffic in Charlotte, I'm singing in the rain. Singing in the rain. That's what this world needs to hear. They don't need to hear my horn when they cut me off. They don't need to hear me haggle over the price of something. They don't need us as Christians standing in the grocery line complaining about the price of milk or eggs. We are to be a light unto a lost and dying world. Not a shade thrown over that light. That's the message that I have for you today. How are you going to live your life going forward? I trust that there's some God-fearing, Jesus-loving Christians here. One quick example before I leave, because I want you to see this. Ace, could you come here for a second? Come here, hon, in the glasses. Come here. Could you come forward? Come here, brother. I want to show you something. Right here. I want you to stand right here, Ace. Right here in the middle. I want you to stand right here. All right. Right here, honey. and you right here, brother. Oh, Ace, I want you to look at is Jesus. Okay? Some of you, it might be hard. I'm just picking. Honey, I want you... She represents us, the world. Sin. She's pretty, but don't look at her like that sin. Just, she's us. She's undone. She's unclean. My brother, what's your name?
Albert.
Albert is God. Albert is God. Now come here, Albert. I want you to step right here. Albert, if he was to look right here, come here, honey. What was your name?
Allie.
Allie? That's a pretty name, Allie. Come here, right here. If Allie was to see, if God was to see Allie, would he allow her to go into heaven with her sin? Let's just be honest now. I want to see somebody tell me, speak to me. This is the part where it's interactive. Would he allow her to go into heaven? No. Where would God have to send Allie? Where would he have to send?
Hell.
You'd have to go to hell, Allie. But Jesus don't behind you here. He don't want you to go to hell. Okay? What he's going to do is he's going to step in front of you. He's going to step in front of you just like this. And I want you to make yourself just as little as can be because you want Jesus to cover you completely. Okay, God, what do you think about this old Allie now?
I don't see her no more. I see Jesus.
You see, what in the world just happened? That is a simple salvation. Danny is just as much a sinner as he's ever been. I still ask forgiveness every day for my thought life. Now, I ain't nowhere near as bad. You looking at me, I ain't nowhere near as bad as I used to be. But I'm just saying, I am still have that old sin nature. And when God looks at Danny, he don't see Danny, he sees Jesus, which is a complete covering of who I am. Therefore, when I die, I'm entered into heaven, and I will be fully sanctified when I get to heaven. But until I get there, I'm not worthy. And in this world we live in, every now and then we're going to stick a little something out, and then God says, what's that? And Jesus says, what's what? Jesus is making intercessory prayer for us right now beside God. Anytime we mess up, he's there to cover us. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you for your help. That little picture of what salvation is, that's what we need to bring to this world. It's just as simple as that. And we will bring them to this world when we react how God would have us to act in a time of difficulty, when someone's coming against us, hate against us, setting us up to fail. There will be those times. That's the way we should react, with love and kindness, humbling ourselves for the opportunity for that person to come to know Christ. Now, how hateful would it be? Honestly now, how hateful would it be for me to know that there's a Savior? All you got to do is humble yourself and ask Christ to come into your heart. I know that. Simple. What's your name, brother? Jeremy. How hateful would I be is if I looked at this church and I said, I want to tell everybody in here about Jesus. But old Jeremy just looked like he rubbed me the wrong way. I ain't going to tell him. I don't like people who wear black shirts. I don't like people with dark hair. My hair used to be black. We do that with our lives every day when we see people and we neglect to share the gospel with them. That's a form of hate. We may call it a low-level hate, but it's we withhold that from them because we don't want to share the gospel with them. Everyone is worth sharing the gospel with. Even if that's your adversary, even if that's your enemy, even if that's somebody that's coming against you, they're still worthy to hear the gospel. That's what the Bible tells us, the way we should be living. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And we're going to give a moment of invitation. It's not going to be 99 verses of just as I am. But given what you've just heard, if you want to come to this altar and pray, let today be the day that you set out to purpose in your heart to live differently in a world that doesn't love you. If you've wronged someone, I don't have a problem if you step out in the sanctuary and pick your phone up and call them and apologize to them and say, you know what, that wasn't a godly way to live. I shouldn't have said that to you, or I shouldn't have done that to you all those years ago. If you got someone on your heart that you need to share the gospel with and you don't know how to do it, come down to this altar and pray that God would help you share the gospel with them, or God would send someone. These people that probably wouldn't listen to me. I was a pretty mean kid. I grew up on the Mill Hill years ago. There's probably would not listen to me share the gospel for the meanness I'd done to them all those years ago. I would pray that God would send someone else to share the gospel with them, because I've ruined that opportunity for things I've done in my past. Loved ones don't even want to get together on Christmas or Halloween or Easter. You know, they don't like your stance, your Christian stance. Pray that God would intervene in those situations. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I can promise you, as I've been sitting here talking, names have popped up in each and every one of you's lives, in your mind. The altar's open. Just pray for them. I'll not come and bother you unless you want me to. Grab me by the hand. If you want somebody else to pray with you, grab them by the hand. Pray. If you want to pray by yourself, that's perfectly fine. That's between you and God anyway. As we sing, I'm going to be standing here.